Great. And then roll call, would that be, and I think Rose is going to take that roll call for us. Rose? Uh-oh, can't hear you, Rose. Still can't. Brandy, can you? And now Brandy's frozen. All right, great start.
Judge Conklin, I'll go ahead and
No, it's
call the roll.
Brandy.
So Rose, are you with us?
I'm with you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can now. Right. If you can go ahead and take roll for us.
Sure, no problem. Judge Conklin?
Yep, present.
Ms. Fleming?
Present.
Judge Getty?
Present.
Judge Fanning? Judge Gabe?
Present.
Judge Kelly?
Present.
Judge Losh?
Present. I think that if it's Larsh.
Correct, Judge Losh.
Got it.
Judge Merrifield?
Present.
Judge Reinhardt? I'm sorry, there appears to be some background noise. Is Judge Reinhardt present? Judge Sachs? Judge Siebert? Ms. Bottleson? Ms. Cameron?
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Finke?
I'm here.
Mr. Kim?
Present.
Mr. Landry?
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Levere? Mr. Riley?
Present.
Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Good morning, present.
Thank you. And then our advisory members? Mr. Wardlaw?
John's unavailable for today's meeting.
Thank you.
Sends his regards.
Mr. Theodorovich?
I'm here.
Thank you. And our liaison member, Judge Kamakarian?
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. Present.
Great, Rose. Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody, for being present. I know there's a few members that may be joining us a little bit later, but we've got a quorum, so we can proceed. First, I would solicit a motion to approve our April 6th in-person meeting. We approve the minutes of that meeting. If you have those, I know you have those minutes in your materials.
Larsh Riley moves approval.
I heard Larsh, and I'll deem Riley's the second. So it's been moved and seconded that the minutes of the April 6th meeting be approved. Any opposition? And hearing none, those minutes are approved. Rose, did we get any public comment for today's meeting?
No, Judge, we did not.
Great. Okay. Thanks, everybody. So we've got two items on our agenda today, one an action, one a discussion. We've got 2 hours set aside for this meeting, so I think plenty of time to get both of these items addressed. The first is Rebecca and I will present this. You're all familiar with our BCPs. We've gone through this exercise, and I'm sure you remember as liaisons, we all reached out to our assigned counties. We received in their suggestions for BCPs. We had meetings to discuss this BCP process and prioritization. We developed a list, and that's included in your item, in your materials at page 6. The purpose of this discussion item is to discuss the submissions that came to us where BCP was identified as having the purview to provide input. So these are BCP recommendations from other committees. And Rebecca, I didn't know if you wanted to add anything to that before we start our discussion of how we handle these other BCP recommendations.
Nothing to add. Thank you, Judge.
Okay. So the way we've done this in the past, folks, candidly, is the discussion is these all appear to be very valid BCP recommendations. They're routed through us, so to speak, and then get to the trial court budget, the JBBC, for their consideration. The question is, do we think it's advisable to prioritize these concepts that come through our committee, or in fact, prioritize our own concepts, which we've done, and then pass these through in general for consideration by JBBC. So that's the discussion and action item for today. You've got those. It's at table one at page 5 and 6 of your material. There's a total of 10. They're noted as they're listed below 1 through 8 and then A and B. So thoughts on the best way to pass these through to JBBC?
Judge Conklin, this is Judge Larsh. Last year we didn't prioritize, did we?
We did not. These? Right, you're correct.
You know, when I look through it, it's about $900 million that we're putting forth on the BCPs when you add it up. And with our tax situation that we're, you know, we've been put off to October, I'm not sure. I don't want to tie the hands of, you know, the budget committee if they think that there's a better way to approach it. And I think probably the better way is to put these forward without prioritizing. That's my thought.
And Judge Lars, if I may, this is Lotko. Just in terms of process, the JBBC will be meeting after the May revision, which is expected to be released on the 12th. They're meeting on the 17th to exactly understand the fiscal position. And so this isn't necessarily to start the paring down process in light of fiscal, but rather priorities of the branch and what might make sense going forward. And then that assessment happens oftentimes at the JBBC where they're looking at. That's why it's purposefully after that update to see what the longer term forecast is for the 24-25 fiscal year. But appreciate your point. It's an important one that we all need to be aware of overall budget-wise. As I think, you know, revenues are down at the latest at only $4.7 billion lower, and we're seeing softness. So, but appreciate that's an important point to make, but I just want to let you know about the process and how they'll be seeing the overall fiscal picture. Notwithstanding the October dates, they still have lots of economic data to now analyze to make their projections.
Okay, great. Thank you.
David, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I think Rebecca had hers up before mine.
Oh, Rebecca, did you have your hand up?
I do. Thank you. So kind of along the lines of Judge Larsh's comments and actually even factoring in what Zia said, I think that, you know, I would throw out the thought that perhaps we don't prioritize so that JBBC has the latitude to take a look at the economic climate when the time comes. You know, it may be that there is something that has a little bit more of a window of opportunity to discuss versus perhaps one, you know, something that we may have put forward. And I think that giving the latitude to the JBBC and the JCC staff, you know, might be, you know, given that we don't know where the economics go, are going, you know, it might be prudent to give them kind of a variety of things to be able to work with rather than us prioritizing that. So that was my only thought.
And could I just ask when these, because I know that these came just mainly from the two committees, from court facilities and then from the trial court facility modification advisory committee, they didn't come to us ranked, right? They just came to us from those committees.
No, I don't know the answer. I don't know if Brandy or Fran. No, I think they might have. I think they might have had a prioritization, but I'm not sure, and I don't want to speak to that.
It looks like they're ranked, Zlatko.
Yes.
Okay. Table one looks like it's ranked.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're not ranked by us.
Correct. They're ranked by facility priorities. The last two, which are lettered A and B, are not in any priority order.
Okay. Gotcha.
So will JBBC be made aware of that ranking, even if we pass them through without prioritizing them?
Absolutely.
All right, yes. Then I would tend to agree, and I guess from another perspective, I don't know that we'd want to second guess those rankings or prioritizations. So,
as is TICBAC's rankings will also be identified to them as well. So,
right.
Each committee has done that, and we represent those to them. I apologize, I couldn't remember if we had presented it that way.
David, and just add, Judge Conklin, in the TICBAC priorities table 2. Number 2 priority is facilities funding. So, and then it references C above where facilities had their ranking. So there is some, you know, attention brought to that one in the current prioritization by this committee.
Great. David, did you have a comment?
Yeah, no, my comments are in alignment with what's already been said. So I don't need to add to that. So thank you.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this? So there's, again, the potential action you can take is set forth at page 8, options for discussion, review and prioritize some or all, revisit our BCP, our own BCPs, which candidly, I think we vetted these pretty thoroughly. I think the thought there was, do we want to intermingle the two, or 3, submit the additional concepts without prioritization. So ours would go with our own prioritization. And then table 1 would go as a pass through from TICBAC to JBBC, acknowledging that they all have merit, but TICBAC opted not to further prioritize the recommendations from those other committees. Okay. So
I need a motion.
I do, Judge Getty. Thank you.
I would move exactly what you just said.
Okay. So that would be exactly what I just said without repeating myself. Is there a second?
Yes. Yamasaki seconds that motion.
All right. So moved and seconded that the TICBAC BCP prioritizations go through as in table 2, and that the other concepts get passed through from TICBAC to JBBC for their consideration as presented. It's open. Now it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? And as is our tradition, I'll just call for any opposition or abstention to that motion. And I hear none. So as the chair, I'll deem that unanimously approved. And Rose and Brandy, does that give you everything you need for the language?
It does. Thank you.
Great, Rose. Thanks so much. Okay, so that gets us to our, and that's the end of our action items. That gets us to our information item. Rose is going to present this. I'll just summarize very briefly. You're all aware that we have our own subcommittee, which is the, I'm losing my mind this morning. The, help me out here.
The financial policies,
fiscal planning,
FPS. Sorry, I've got too many initials running around in my Friday brain. So it's the fiscal planning subcommittee. So the fiscal planning subcommittee considers requests from courts to hold back funds pursuant to standing policy. We had our most recent meeting yesterday in which we considered these requests. These requests are thoroughly presented to us through detailed reports and documents that come to us, and then they're passed through directly to the council. So they don't come through TICBAC. They go directly to the council for their consideration. What we now have is an annual report addressing the funds held on behalf of and the completed projects within that. And that's what is open for discussion, but not action today. And with that, I'll turn it over to Rose just so she can further detail that. Rose?
Great. Thank you, Judge. So good morning, everyone. My name is Rose Lane, and I am a senior analyst with Budget Services. So this report is to provide the committee with an overview of the trial court trust fund funds held on behalf annual expenditure reporting. It includes projects or planned expenditures not yet completed as of March 2023, and also completed projects for fiscal year 21-22. So this is the first report that complies with the new annual reporting requirement that was established by the council in May 22 per the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee's recommendation, which changed policy from reporting on a quarterly to an annual basis. So beginning on page 12 of your materials, table A provides status of projects or planned expenditures not yet completed, and that totals an approved amount of $20.8 million. On page 14, Table B provides status on completed projects in 21-22, totaling an approved amount of $1.6 million. So that concludes our short presentation on the informational report. Budget Services is happy to take any questions you may have.
Rose, thanks so much. So I just want to clarify as we have this discussion that this is not a criticism at all of the courts that have submitted these existing requests. This I think is an opportunity to assess how that program and those requests proceed and the factors surrounding those requests. I'm just going to state the obvious, as table one tells us, or table A tells us, over the past, so from 21-22 through this fiscal year, there's been approximately $20 million in requests. And of that $20 million, $4 million's been spent. So that's the discussion today is, do we need to, or as we re-examine this program, perhaps some thoughts on how to be, again, I think this program itself is very transparent, but to also effectuate the true goals of the program, recognizing concerns, and I'm just going to state the concerns, that there's a lot of money left on the table. Chad, I think I saw your hand up first. Go ahead.
And then Chris Rule, Judge.
I actually think Chris beat me to it, so I'll let him go first.
All right, Chris. Are you there? Chris?
Unmute, sorry. This is not a comment as such as just a clarification. On table A, I'm looking at Colusa on page 12, and it appears, so if you, the last two columns, the second to the last column states how much has been expended, and then the last column, I think, is the remaining balance. So I just want to make sure I understand correctly. So I believe the remaining balance in Colusa should be $327,000 less than $1,131,999, right? Because I think the total.
Right. So they were approved in rough numbers to hold back $1.4 million. Of the $1.4 million that was approved to be held back, they've spent $327,000. So they still have $1.1 million held back.
So I think the discrepancy I'm noting, Judge, is that I think if I add up the totals of what they've requested, it's actually $1.131 million, $1.132 million. And so that the remaining balance actually should be $327,000 less than that. Rose, do you see what I'm getting at here? I think there's just a mathematical discrepancy there. Anyway, it's just a small point. It's just noting, a correction to the chart, really.
Noted. We'll take a look at it.
Okay. So math, I get that.
Thank you.
Then I think we go to Chad. And then, I'm sorry, I saw another hand and then it went down. So Chad?
Thanks, Judge. I mean, you know, acknowledging, as you said, the optics, right, which is that there's a lot of money involved here. If you sort of look at table A, you'll kind of see, very broadly speaking, these monies kind of fall into two big categories, right? CMSs and facilities related expenses. And from my experience, both of those are sort of the two most challenging categories of expenses, I think, to control the timing of when that work gets done. So I know probably most of us have had an experience with a CMS vendor where you think you're gonna go live on one day and then you actually go live 2 years or 3 years after that day. And with a lot of these facilities projects, you know, we're kind of at the mercy of the asbestos process, the vendors who do the work, the supply chain to get the materials. So I think it's important to acknowledge how this might look, but I think it's also important to sort of acknowledge that sometimes it's not as easy to, you know, we're trying to spend this money in a timely way, and sometimes it's out of our control, the ability to do so.
Agreed. And I think The obviously, it's everybody's input is important here, but I think what perhaps we will try to seek some clarification on, if not more efficiency, is the difference between that, Chad. You're right, where a court has a very specific program with specific numbers, and for lack of a better description, there's supply chain problems. So we know recently with electronics, the supply problem is significant. So courts started these programs and they just can't finish them. And they need to save the money when those items come in so they can. Versus, and I'm not pointing out any court in particular, but versus a court that perhaps overestimates a program, that the cost of a program, and then that money just remains tied up because it actually is within that court for years and years. But then I think I saw Judge Siebert's hand up, I think, or not. Judge Siebert, am I wrong? Maybe I'm wrong. Judge Getty, did I see your hand as well?
I would just concur with Chad's comments. We just suffered through a go-live event that was 2 years behind where it was supposed to be. And negotiating with the county to try to do one of our facilities projects, some of this is beyond our control when we're in a tenant capacity versus a county capacity. I think there's a difference also with items, and I would note that the approved amount, Mr. Rule, the approved amount is to the left, and then the description of the amount, and then the expenditures to date. So the actual remaining balance looks to me to be the correct number for us to be looking at with a spend down. But, you know, I'm noticing the vast majority of these were in the 2020 timeframe. And so we kind of have to be realistic. There's 2 years where we lost the opportunity to get things done just because of shutdowns and all of that. Some, though, are older, and some go back as far as 2015. And, you know, there is a point where we have to be a little bit more realistic about that, in my humble opinion.
Right. And I guess the other thing that catches my attention are a lot of zeros. So I understand the position that it's hard to, but there's not an insignificant number of these where they haven't spent a single dollar on the project. And that's a bad optic. Well, let me rephrase that. That's an optic that I think is going to catch the attention of perhaps entities outside of our branch that I think we need to be prepared to explain. And maybe that the explanation is just what we came up with. Chad, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Just to respond really quickly to that point, on the at least as far as CMS expenditures go, I know Journal Technologies, their contracts are set up so that you don't pay at all until the system is fully deployed. So Tyler, you pay it as on a deliverable basis as you go, but with eCourt, you pay nothing until deployment. So, you know, we're now 2 years behind on a deployment, and we haven't paid a dime because that's just how they structure their contracts.
And that's an excellent explanation. And that's why I think maybe as this comes back to FPS, we can modify some of the parameters of these projects and the reporting of the projects. So candidly, reporting is important. And I think we are also going to discuss those courts that are not reporting. And that's a big problem. I don't know how else to put it, but I don't, and I'm not a CEO. So I'll defer to CEOs, and I'm not pointing to any CEO on this committee at all, but it's come to my attention that there are some courts that are just not reporting. And I think we're going to have some type of control on that, to where if a court, just by way of example only, a court doesn't timely respond or report without good cause, then those funds are at least temporarily unavailable to that court. But this is some detail that I think FPS will work through. But the purpose of this discussion is to one, as Chad just mentioned, that's great information that, but other thoughts about to address this.
Judge Conklin, this is David. I had my hand raised.
Sorry. There you go. Sorry, David.
Yeah, no problem. So, you know, I was around when this program was put together, when the fund balance cap was at 1%, which was almost unreasonable, I would just say. But let me explain one of the reasons for the importance of having this program. And while it may seem excessive to some, given the amount of money that, you know, may be in the balance at this point, but there are certain activities that we have to cover that we simply cannot save the money for with the existing cap. And I'll give you one really good example. When the Family Justice Center project in Santa Clara was built, the court was obligated to provide $4.5 million in FF&E equipment. That money had to be saved at the point that the project was approved. That project took roughly 3.5 years to complete. Very clearly would have exceeded their fund balance cap at $4.5 million. And that project would not have gone forward if that money was not saved. So that seems like a high amount that would have to be kept in their reserves, which would have been prevented as a result of some of the changes that took place with the cap. In orange, the case management system replacement was estimated to cost $17 million. The court was able to replace it with enhancements for roughly $3.5 million. But $17 million takes a number of years to save up for, to execute and complete the project. So I think I recognize that there's a need to find a middle area, and perhaps some of the projects need to be funded a little bit sooner than perhaps others. But in some instances, I'm not sure where we can meet the obligations and commitments that courts enter into for very expensive projects, if not for the opportunity to put money in this particular program. So maybe we have to find some sort of middle place to recognize these really expensive projects that we have to save up for, but at the same time, recognize it just cannot be a savings account, if you will, just in case, but rather something for a very specific project. So I hope that the end result isn't to put a lid on how much can be saved, especially for very, very legitimate purposes, like the two examples that that I've identified. And I know for a fact that there are many other capital projects that are coming up. And, you know, one example is capital projects don't pay for the phone systems. So those items have to be provided for by a local court, and that's a lot of money. And of course, these projects take a bit of time to complete. So anyway, just wanted to offer a couple of examples as to why I think finding a way to preserve this program is so important, but also recognizing that there's a need to liquidate some of the funds that have been saved.
And that, Chris, I saw your hand up. I'll get to you in just a minute. I think you make an excellent point. And I chair the FPS, so let me clarify. I think FPS is a very effective, important function. And I don't think this discussion is for the purpose of deciding whether or not we want to get rid of that capability. I think it's crucial, as David just said, to many of these projects. I think just the opposite. I think we want to be transparent here. And if any modifications are necessary to this crucial program, make them so those looking in from the outside have trust in the program. So I do, for instance, and Chris, I'm hanging you up, but I think one of the things that FPS might address is you might note in some of these requests, the request is to repurpose the funds. Well, what that really means is to take the funds that were meant for Project A and now use them for another project. And that might be something that I think we need to take a close look at. Chris?
Yeah, thank you, Judge. So I'm going to add, I think, to what Chad was saying, you know, noting that many of these projects are for case management systems or for facilities improvements. And I would imagine that on the facilities maintenance or facilities improvement side, those kind of projects, I would guess that a number of courts who have asked to set aside funds for those are using the court-funded facility request process. which engages the JCC as the managing sort of coordinator for those projects. And I know based on our experience, there can be extensive delays with those projects. We've experienced that on several of them. And so I would not be at all surprised. I haven't looked into the details on a number of these, obviously, but that may be a factor in why the funds are not being expended, you know, on the timeline that was originally anticipated.
Good point.
Judge Conklin, if I might, just sort of broad observation, if there aren't others that have it. I think the intent of any of this conversation, as I'm hearing it from what Judge Conklin says, let's just look at it. I think as we advocate for more money, we also then, you know, transparently, as all the reasons we do, you know, need to use the money in the right way. And I think after a number of years of this process in existence, which, you know, David, I was sitting there with you in the council room and we were working on how to come up with this. And it was important that we did it within the spirit of using the funds and given the cap and we ran it through the Department of Finance back then. People change, the circumstances change. And I think, again, the spirit is there value in looking at it to make sure that it's meeting its objectives? We are reporting broadly now on, you know, financial year-end information. Chris, to your point, including CFRs, funds held on behalf of the fund balances. And so if there's a bit of a more focus, then let's make sure that we're in a good place. By no means, again, is this a criticism of anything that's happened. I just think we do it all the time in terms of let's stop to see what we're doing. Does it make sense? Is there a change that we need to bring about to improve the process? So I just say is that it's nothing. I think there's nothing wrong with looking at what we're doing and making sure that it makes sense still. It's been, you know, 7-8 years that we've done this, and how is it being implemented? And I think that that's a legitimate question. And all of the issues that you brought about are things that will be part of the discussion. How do we message that? Do we need to maybe change the reporting form to indicate the kinds of things that Chad has brought up? So, you know, I think, again, it's just to better explain what we're doing. It's not a bad thing. It takes a little bit more time, but if it can enhance our advocacy for more money to demonstrate that we are great stewards of state funds, then I think that those reinforce each other. The better we show that we're using the funds in the way that I know we are, enhances our ability to argue for more money. And I think that those are inextricably tied.
Good point. Sean, you had your hand up?
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point, Zlatko. Thank you for that. I think it's also important to understand and realize a history, which I know most of us know in here, which is how we got here to the funds held on behalf of. And it was really a fix for that arbitrary 1% cap that was established on us in a prior administration. And I wonder, and we've talked about this many times, I know, in this committee and sort of in other formats, about increasing that fund balance cap. And I'm wondering if there is still, or is there an appetite to do that? Because it's sort of a wonky process in a way, because, you know, courts are submitting these requests. It's a great tool that we have. We're looking at it from a committee level, but it's sort of hard to scrutinize, right? Because we're not really on the ground level. And we're looking at more accountability. I understand that piece. But if we had a higher fund balance, as an example, there would not be the need for this tool any longer. And courts could actually fund case management systems, as an example, out of a fund balance that they could hold multi-year. So I'm just wondering if there's any appetite or any inroads to be made with that conversation.
Yeah, I think, Sean, you, and if I might respond to that a little bit, I think that we've had that a bit of a conversation about that at the joint meeting earlier this year, in which was, what's the objective of increasing? What is our pitch to the administration for the purposes of increasing the fund balance? I think that's the fundamental question, is what would we be arguing is the purpose of increasing the fund balance and to what level? And I think there's been times in the past when it's just lets us have it so that we can have a rainy day. And we say, but there's a state rainy day fund. So I think articulating the why is key, and I don't know if we've landed on that yet as part of our advocacy. I know we've talked about increasing the fund balance, but I think that there's a key is you're asking for money to spend while asking to allow you to save more of that money. And those seem to be two sides of different issues where give us more money for what we need and then let us save it. And I think the predecessor to the 1%, Sean, if we want to remember, is that we had $530 million of fund balance. And the concern was, is that while we were being cut during the Great Recession, we were sitting on a half a billion. And when Ana Mata Santos came to the council meeting in May and said, those are state resources and we need to use those because you're not using them to support the courts. And so that was the predecessor to the 1% that then came about with the funds on behalf of. So we got to be good stewards, use the funds. That was why they wanted to put the cap, use the funds you have. And again, it's a tough one. We want more money, but then we also want to save it. So how do we articulate a strong argument back? And when we do that, then we have the conversation. But we've never been shying away from the notion of greater fiscal flexibility. It's just, how do you articulate the best case for that?
Chris, Judge Conklin, your hand up?
Judge, yep. Conklin, oh, I think Neil had his hand up as well and okay. His, had it up for a little bit. And then so Chris and myself.
Neil, Chris, and Rebecca. Neil?
So on the facilities, I think there's a larger policy issue that this shows. You know, because if you look at our budget change proposal priorities, there's a lot of facilities-related projects that are high on the priorities list. But a lot of courts have things that they just can't wait. You know, they've got repairs to make or they've got obligations to do with their facilities, with their counties. And so you've got these projects that we're putting out there for funding through this other process, the funds held on behalf, because we just have to get these done because there's no other funding for facilities coming from the state.
Right.
And then I think you'll find a lot of this is the case with the trial courts. So there's a policy trade-off there. I would say in our case in San Mateo's, we've got a number coming up. We made agreements with the county, very similar to Santa Clara, but on a much smaller scale, where we have agreed to fund furniture, fixtures, and equipment upon the construction of a building in which we're getting another a trade for that. But we have to fund the furniture, fixtures, and equipment. That stuff is all delayed. It's out of our control.
Yeah.
So we're waiting until that construction's done so we can start spending this money. And I think that's probably the case with a lot of these courts, is that we're waiting on something that's outside of our control, but we got money saved up waiting for that particular project to finish.
Good point.
I think Chris, it would be one last thing is if it would help, we may want to have more detailed reporting as to the progress of these projects that we put out there.
Well, I think this conversation exemplifies that. So I think even through the course of this conversation, a lot of information has come up that as we go back to FPS, we might want to require be included in reports. So when somebody looks in from the outside and says, why do you still have that money? We can explain it very quickly. Chris?
Yeah, actually picking up both on your comments, Judge and Niels, I don't want to jump too quickly to solutions, but I'm hearing that there is a potential optics problem with the amount of money that's still remaining unspent. What might, from your standpoint, from Zlatko's standpoint, what might help to address that optics problem? Because I think you're hearing, you know, the practical reasons why those funds aren't being expended as quickly as everyone had hoped. So what might help to address that?
Well, I'm Zlatko's probably better to answer this from a practical, it'd be the more information we have to explain how these funds are legitimately needed, legitimately saved, and will be legitimately used versus, this is just my word, so I'm not saying this with this, it's just going into a slush fund. So a court is just saying, we want to have a rainy day fund, so we're going to put this label on it. But at the end of the day, we're going to use it for a lot of other stuff. That's not the purpose of funds held on behalf of. And I don't think that's what's really happening, but we have to be able to address that optic.
Yeah, and I'm by no means, I argued for the funds held on behalf of process to exist. So I'm by no means, I'm absolutely an advocate for it. I think what I'm hearing from the judges, he's looking at the report is, is there value in just taking a look at it? I think it's a, there's, I don't think that you're raising this for the purpose of eliminating it, amending it to the point where it's not useful. Just, is there value in looking at it? Simply.
Rebecca?
And that shows, to your point and question, is our own introspection on it, our looking at it, shows we care about it and it's valuable to us, that it's worth evaluating and make sure that it's helpful still.
Right. We've always advocated for transparency.
Yeah, and I think that that helps with, right, with arguments to anybody who thinks that it's not being used appropriately, that we are looking at it on a regular basis.
Good. Rebecca, and then I think I saw Krista's hand up. Rebecca?
Thank you. So I'm going to actually just maybe pivot the conversation a little bit more pointedly. I don't think this is the concept of this program is a problem. I don't think that the projects are a problem. What the problem is that we are not putting out enough information to defend why we're doing this. And as one of the individuals who is trying to support the advocacy from a CEO standpoint, we're not getting the information from the courts. And so if we want the program, we have to report. And you know, we're in a situation, I mean, open your newspaper today. We have projected shortfalls of revenues. And if we have a pile of cash sitting there somewhere and we're not reporting, guess what's going to happen? They're going to start asking questions and we're not going to have the information to defend it. And, you know, we may have every legitimate reason in the world, which every comment here is legitimate, but it's not on the paper that we're using to report. And so I'm going to pointedly say, if we don't defend what we're doing, we're going to wind up losing the program. And so not to, you know, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer or anything like that, but I've been in some of those conversations and, you know, Zlatko and his staff are doing everything they can to defend our position with all of our tools. But if we don't give them the information to defend it, then we're cutting ourselves off at the knees. That's all there is to it.
Good point. Krista?
Yeah, so I agree with a lot of what has already been said. And the only point I want to make is to ask staff to relook at the material that was provided, because I can tell you for Lake Court, the information on the report is not accurate. That funds held on behalf is not from 15-16, it's I think 21-22. So if we could just ask that be looked at, I think there are some others that may be missing from the report as well, but.
Yeah, because we've attached those reports, so that's great. If a court sees a problem, obviously that's something can be easily addressed. So I hear, and I didn't see another hand up, if so, please. But kind of what I'm interpreting is, and Krista, it says your hand's up, but I think we just addressed your point. Great.
Yes, we did, sorry about that.
So one is, and this is presumably easy fix, lack of information. So if a court has funds held on behalf of and they're not reporting, that's a problem. And we need to be able to address that immediately. And I think through FPS, we can develop some consequences to failure to report. The other is, do we need to adjust our reports to show more detail to answer the question that comes in from the outside? And that's something Chad addressed and many of you have addressed when I hear from Chad, some of those answers, those are very plausible explanations for this amount of money. We shouldn't be able to pass that through. So as we go back to FPS, I think we'll develop maybe some more reporting criteria and updated information so that Zlatko and staff can do that job. But in further discussion, further comments?
Judge Conklin, this is David. If I could just add one final point.
Sure.
I do agree that this is an area that may have to be refined because of the comments that Rebecca just mentioned and others have mentioned about optics and yourself as well. And right now, if you have money in reserves, you basically have a year plus two. You identify, you have a contract, you're saving up for it, and then you have to spend it within two. If you don't, then that money is, if it's in excess of the 3%, that goes back to the TCTF. And so one anomaly, one exception in the funds held on behalf of is there's a mechanism that allows courts to maybe use that money for another purpose, which is may not be considered at the very outset of when the money was originally placed. That may be an area for us to examine, is should we permit, should we adopt a practice that allows that process to continue? Because in the grand scheme of things, we have the mechanism of year plus two, and then you have this other mechanism to hold funds held on behalf of. And I know that it's not going to be a popular topic, but I do recognize that we have to find some balance between having monies maintained there for an indefinite period of time and recognizing the concerns that perhaps the Department of Finance or people outside of the branch are concerned about. So I know that we're not going to make any decisions today, but I do think that we should look at some middle ground on something that I think is very reasonable for us to consider going forward with the subcommittee.
Good point. And again, anything the subcommittee decides and recommends is going to come back through us. So we'll get a kickback as a whole. We'll get another look at this if the subcommittee decides to make any changes of substance. I'm looking around for hands and obviously listening. We're well within our 2 hours. Anybody have any other thoughts about this? Okay. So this is not an action item. This was a discussion item. It's been a great discussion, very helpful to me, frankly, as chair of FPS and to staff as well. They've been taking notes on this. So I will. We had an FPS meeting yesterday and we talked about, I think this is just, and I guess I'd look for thoughts from you folks, especially the CEOs. As we get to FPS, we'll have an educational session within FPS to make sure everybody understands the parameters, a discussion about whether or not they can be modified to enhance the credibility of the program. But then also perhaps because we have some new CEOs statewide, a statewide type of educational presentation, maybe at a conference or otherwise, to help the CEOs understand the exact purpose of the program and the reporting requirements. Because if it's just a lack of understanding, that's something we need to address. Okay. Any other thoughts? All right. Any other concerns or comments for this meeting today, besides, again, commenting on Judge Larch's great decorating in his chambers, on his coat rack? Anything else anybody wants to address? I know Judge Gabe wants to address the Warriors, but I'm not going to let her do that. So,
just if I can add, Judge, our next TICFAC meeting is scheduled for May 4th. This is a big one where we'll be looking at allocation recommendations for the 2023-24 fiscal year.
And will we have the May revise by then? I don't think so, right?
No.
Right. Yeah. Just, and maybe if we have just 5 minutes, Latko, anything you can share publicly about what the thoughts are right now or how things are looking?
Judge Larch has mentioned it. Rebecca's mentioned it. I mentioned it. Revenues are down from the governor's budget. And, there's just reports of softer revenues and that there'll need to be more budget solutions. And the LAO is recommending the legislature to not jump into the reserves, the rainy day fund just yet. What that means for us, I mean, our commentary to the Department of Finance is, if you need one-time solutions, we'll see what we can do to get those for you so that we avoid base ongoing reductions, which is our key. Our key is to preserve the ongoing budget for the trial courts. And there's some monies that have been unspent, and we are identifying those to them and coming to the table. We've done that, and they've appreciated it because they're not necessarily hearing other folks coming to the table like we are. So we are trying to be good partners, knowing that solutions are going to be spread across the state. If we can minimize the impact on the trial courts and the branch, we're working on that.
Great. Get the update. Any other questions, concerns for Zlatko and staff or for me or for anybody at all? Okay, well then I'll let you have an extra hour of your day back to get that important work done. Thanks everybody so very much. I'm glad to see everybody's faces. We'll hopefully maybe get another in-person meeting scheduled before the end of the year so we can be in the same room. With that, I wish everybody well. And as always, go Dodgers. Thanks, folks.
Bye.
Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.